I am eager to preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ from 1 Chronicles 29, and I would like to invite you to please turn there with me. These past 24 hours, I have done things with my voice that one ought not do prior to preaching, and I resolved coming into the service this morning to not sing too loudly, to not shout to the Lord. I have failed miserably in executing that intention, and yet I regret nothing. And would gladly spend my voice again and again in the praises of so glorious a Savior. And it is a happy thing to be gathered on this occasion to celebrate 40 years of the faithfulness and goodness of God. What a sweet thing it was to gather last night and to reflect on all that God has done and to give God the glory for it. For us as a church family, there's a sense in which the entire year has been building toward this day. Together we have sought the Lord and have prepared our hearts over many months to give toward a chapel, a much-needed secondary meeting space, and toward the next generation of Covenant Fellowship pastors and church planters, a leadership transition that will allow younger men to be brought on our team and serve alongside seasoned pastors. After the sermon, we will have that long-awaited opportunity to give offerings and pledges. I do want to say, if you're here as a guest, you have visited us on a special Sunday involving a special offering. We're not expecting you to give anything. And believe it or not, our sermons are not usually on money and giving. I've led the church for over 15 years, and I believe I can count on one hand the number of times that I have preached on the topic of money and giving. If anything, I am open to the accusation that I have not preached enough on this topic and in keeping with biblical proportions. And yet we do, and it's appropriate as we have gathered to take up this offering, it's appropriate to consider what the Word of God says about money and about giving. But it needs to be known that our passion is not money. Our passion is seeing lives changed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ and seeing money used to that glorious end. And so as we prepare our hearts to give, I want to return to this great chapter we looked at several weeks ago, 1 Chronicles 29. This chapter provides us with one of the greatest examples in all of Scripture of joyful, mission-minded generosity. The people of God have gathered with gladness and are giving toward the construction of the temple, and we are looking at the second half of this great chapter, this special occasion, after the people of God had given generously to the work. I'd like to invite you to please stand, if you are able, for the reading of God's Word. 1 Chronicles 29. This is God's holy and authoritative Word. We'll begin in verse 9. Then the people rejoiced because they had given willingly, for with a whole heart they had offered freely to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly. That's following this record of the generous gifts that were given. And then our text begins in verse 10. Therefore David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly. And David said, "Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. But who am I? Who am I and what is my people that we should be able thus to offer willingly? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. For we are strangers before you, and sojourners, as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no abiding. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for this, for building you a house for your holy name, comes from your hand and is all your own. I know, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. In the uprightness of my heart, I have freely offered all these things. And now I have seen your people who are present here offering freely and joyously to you. O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep forever such purposes and thoughts in the hearts of your people and direct their hearts toward you. Grant to Solomon, my son, a whole heart that he may keep your commandments, your testimonies, and your statutes, performing all, and that he may build the palace for which I have made provision. Then David said to all the assembly, bless the Lord your God. And all the assembly blessed the Lord, the God of their fathers, and bowed their heads and paid homage to the Lord and to the king. And they offered sacrifices to the Lord, and on the next day offered burnt offerings to the Lord, 1,000 bulls, 1,000 rams, and 1,000 lambs, with their drink offerings and sacrifices in abundance for all Israel. And they ate and drank before the Lord on that day with great gladness. Father, the kingdom, the power, and the glory is yours. Father, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right here in our hearts and in this place. Be glorified, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. When the Spirit of God is truly poured out upon a people, remarkable things happen. I've come to realize there is all the difference in the world between a people who are striving in their own effort and a people who are clothed with power from on high. It is when the Spirit of God comes to church. It is when the Spirit of God is poured out upon his people that the people of God are then zealous for the kingdom, that they are then unified in their goals, generous in their giving, fervent in their prayers, and abounding in the joy of the Lord. And in the great kindness of God, this is our story as a church these 40 years. One of my favorite stories that many of you are familiar with is from 25 years ago. Before we moved into this building, all our funds had been spent on purchasing this land, the land that we are now on, for $1.2 million, but we were still in need of a building. And professional capital campaign experts said we could expect to raise $250,000 over a year. We then learned that a building would cost $5.6 million and a $1 million down payment would be needed. That was four times what the professionals thought possible and would in fact involve members doubling their tithe, giving 20% of their income instead of 10%. And yet in those days, the Spirit of God was powerfully on the move. And people, many of you, gave joyfully, sacrificially and heroically. Some gave their tax returns. Some postponed home improvement projects. People gave their raises. There were community groups that held garage sales. Families took less expensive vacations or did staycations at home. There were two singles who were engaged to be married. They pledged more than half their combined net income. After pledging, both of them received raises. So often the way God works. Some gave money from retirement. Others worked overtime to be able to give more. Grade school children emptied their piggy banks and gave up birthday money. This joyful offering to the Lord. It's exactly like verse 9 says. Then the people rejoiced because they had given willingly, for with a whole heart they had offered freely to the Lord. God himself had moved on the hearts of his people to defy the experts, to defy the consumerism of our culture, and the church exceeded the goal of raising $1 million that year by more than $200,000. And in the second year, another million was given for the glory of God. And as you know, every part of this building has proven valuable for ministry and for mission. And as a result of that giving, God was honored and treasures were laid up in heaven and people were filled with joy and the kingdom of God has advanced in power. It's what happens when the Spirit of God is poured out upon a people. It was just last month, in anticipation of this day, that I sat in our community group meeting. I'm in a community group led by Marty Machowski. We were in the Donahue's living room on that particular evening with other pastors and wives, and we discussed questions about giving that Marty had prepared. One, how do you as a couple approach giving decisions? Two, how have you seen God's grace abound in your life as you've purposed to practice generosity? Three, what temptations do you face in the area of trusting God for adequate finances or in generous giving? And I so loved hearing stories of God's determination to bless sacrificial giving. I love hearing stories of how God provides and it builds our faith. There was just last week, Megan and I went on a run. She runs. I try to keep up with her sometimes. And so through all of my heavy breathing, we were reflecting on how genuinely excited we are. When we think about what's going on in life, it is this. How God has brought us to this place of excitement and joy to be taking greater steps in generosity than we have taken in a very long time. And Megan said to me, it feels good, and I'm excited about this. I want to say, if you've never gotten excited about giving, or if you've never given to the point of demanding faith, you're missing out on joy that God has for you. You're missing out on blessing that God has for you. It was a few weeks ago. I've enjoyed so many of the interactions that I've had with you as a church. A few weeks ago, my brother Henry Cooper grabbed me after the service, and in reference to our mission fund, said, as only Henry can, I love this brother. You know, here's my personal space. Here's Henry. And he says, bro, giving is a weapon. Giving is a weapon. And I said, that will preach. Tell me more. I said, send thoughts. So he sent me a note last week, and it said this: giving is a weapon of warfare against the kingdom of darkness. The believer who chooses to disobey the commands of Jesus and refrain from giving to the work of the Lord is not only disobedient, but is actively empowering their own defeat in this temporal world. And he said, every time I send off a gift to the work of the kingdom, it is accompanied by a prayer of thanksgiving and a declaration of God's faithfulness. That's the way. Giving is a weapon. Giving is a statement. Giving is, in a sense, an act of war against the sins of the flesh. And when we give, God cares about the way that we give. How do we give in a way that is accompanied by prayers of thanksgiving? Giving as a declaration of the faithfulness of God. Giving with hearts overflowing with joy. That's what we see in our text today. This text, it contains a prayer of David when all the people of God had generously donated to the work of the Lord, and David in that moment lifts up his voice in prayer and praise. And it is a prayer that is packed with theology. It is designed by God to fill our hearts with the same joy that they knew that day, the great gladness that verse 22 describes. How can we today experience the same joy that the people of God experienced in 1 Chronicles 29? Here are principles. I have four of them, four principles that produce joy-filled generosity, knowing that God loves a cheerful giver. First, everything we have belongs to the Lord. Everything we have belongs to the Lord. Verses 10 through 13 is exuberant doxology. It is a word of passionate praise to the Lord, who alone is, we are told, exalted as head over all. And you notice that in those statements of praise, those statements that are blessing God, special emphasis is placed on the fact that everything we have belongs to God. Verse 11, all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Verse 12, riches and honor come from you. You have riches, where did it come from? God. It comes from him. Verse 14, all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. Don't kid yourself and think that you can give something to God in any ultimate sense. Okay, it all belongs to him. We only give what is already his. And this is one of the most revolutionary and important principles in giving. It all belongs to God. Our houses, our possessions, our savings. At the end of the day, it is not my money, it is God's money. We are stewards entrusted by God in his great generosity to manage the money that belongs to him. In verse 16, it's emphasized again. All the wealth that's being given and collected, verse 16 says, comes from God's hand, and all of it belongs to God. And understanding that, understanding this idea and truly having it settle into our hearts is where the whole privilege of giving is introduced. The whole joy of giving. It's what you see in verse 14. Who am I that I should be able to give when all things belong to the Lord? And yet he has so generously given to us so that we might be able to generously give as an act of worship to the Lord. The Lord is a provider. The Lord supplies all of our needs. He gives us daily bread. He blesses us with resources so that we can enjoy his generosity and so that we can be generous as he is generous. If you have riches, as many of us do, those riches have come from God and belong to him. 2 Corinthians 9:11 is a verse that I've been thinking about and it's been informing my prayers recently. It's where it says, you will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way. I have to admit, actually, in light of this verse, I've recently been praying. This is the first time ever, but I've been praying this, that God would provide unexpected financial resources for me and Megan so that we are able to give generously to this mission fund. So I've been praying that way. And then this last week, there have been two unexpected checks that have come our way. Totally unexpected. One for over $500, one for over $800. And I said, oh, Megan, I can explain this. I've been praying. The prayer of a righteous man is apparently availing much. And I've been praying that as we've stepped out in faith to give, that the Lord would provide so that we can be generous in every way. And I want you as a church to know, I've not only been praying that for myself, but I've been praying it for each one of you. I've been praying it for us as a church, that God would equip us and position us to step into generosity with hearts full of faith, knowing that everything we have belongs to Him and that He is a generous provider. Second principle that produces joy-filled generosity: our days on the earth will soon be gone. Verse 15, David says, we are strangers and sojourners. And that is a remarkable statement in context, because the people of God here are in the promised land. They are at rest. David is king over a great dynasty. There is incredible national security. And so we might expect David to say something like, at last we are home. Now we can settle. Now we've arrived. Now we can get comfortable. But in fact, he says the exact opposite. We are strangers and sojourners. And verse 15 continues, our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no abiding. So this is God's good word for us as we celebrate 40 years. Your life is a shadow, and one day you will die. Happy anniversary. And yet it is a gracious reminder from the Lord that our rest is not in this world, and that we so desperately need to cultivate an eternal perspective. Our days will soon be gone. And therefore, do not set your heart on riches, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven by giving generously. If you think that having a lot of money is the good life, you have bought a lie. The good life hinges entirely not upon any possessions we have, but upon having Christ. Have you repented of your sin? Have you trusted that Christ has died in your place to bear the judgment we deserve? If so, Christ is yours. Eternal life is yours, and you have peace with God forever. That's what matters, because our days on earth will soon be done. Eternity awaits. And oh, how we need to develop an eternal perspective. This is, Randy Alcorn is a man who devoted his life to helping others see money and possessions in light of eternity. I love this. He encourages parents to take their kids on a family trip to a dump or a junkyard. A great family event, he says. The lines are shorter than amusement parks, admission's free, the little boys love it. He said, show them all of the expensive things that now lie useless, and then ask them the ultimate question. When all that you owned lies abandoned, broken, burned, and useless, what will you have done that lasts for eternity? Every one of us needs to think about that. Our days on earth are like a shadow. Are you giving to the kingdom? Alcorn also has something glorious to say about return on investment when it comes to giving. So financial managers rightly think in terms of ROI, return on investment. Alcorn says, there is nothing in the history of the universe that has had such a staggering and everlasting ROI as giving to the kingdom of God and the mission of the church of Jesus Christ. And Alcorn says that since our days are like a shadow and there is no abiding, in fact, what we need to talk about is EROI, eternal return on investment. The plain teaching of Scripture is that as we give to the church and to the purposes of God, we are laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven. And when we are thinking rightly about giving, we see giving primarily as an eternal investment. Alcorn says, joyful givers give as if they were investing, anticipating a great ROI or return on investment. They are infused with purpose. When eternity-minded investors hand over money, they don't say to themselves, I'll never see this again, I'll never benefit from it. No, they invest because they love both God and people and also anticipate eventual benefits that will come back to them, rewards that will last forever. Friends, I can tell you on the authority of the Word of God that one of the reasons we have such joy in giving today is that we know the gifts we are giving will impact others for eternity and will result in eternal rewards. Life is but a breath. What better thing to do than to give to the kingdom of God? Third, what God desires from each of us is a life of integrity. You see this in verses 17 and 18. God tests the heart. He has pleasure in uprightness. Success in this fundraising, both then and now, is not the amount given, but the integrity of the giver in his or her giving. God commands that our giving in life be willing, that it be joyful, that it be generous. This is a basic part of a life of integrity. Because see, more than anything else, money reveals our true character. I think about it this way. Our financial records tell a story. They preach a sermon. They say, here is what matters to me. And men and women of integrity will be those who go through life giving in ways that are truly generous and sacrificial. Integrity means this. Integrity means that there's a sense in which we forget about what leaders are saying, we forget about what others are. We are giving in the presence of God. We are coming before an omniscient God who knows all things, and we are giving in a way that has integrity. Certainly that means we are giving in keeping with the principle of the tithe, and I believe it means that we are giving beyond as God allows. I personally came to the conviction long ago that if I were only giving away 10%, I would be doing the bare minimum that God requires of me and would not be an example in generosity. You know, someone, I think this was Randy Alcorn, he describes the tithe as the training wheels of giving. And I think that's right. And the way that I've thought about this is, you don't want a senior pastor riding around on training wheels. I don't know that I could possibly lead the church in faith if I still had on training wheels. But I also realize that some of you are not yet on the training wheels. So my kids, when they were little, there was this little Fisher-Price popper car. You know, they just, I don't know if you pop, pop, pop on the, it's this little, little tiny thing. Some of you are riding that. And so we're looking to upgrade to the training wheels. And it's very important to me as pastors. We are innocent of the blood of stingy Christians because we have taught you both from the Word of God and through our example what the Lord requires when it comes to generosity and what it comes to giving. And God is merciful and patient, but I also want to warn you to not be found robbing God, to not be found lacking integrity before Him. And I say this, goodness, not to pressure anyone, but because this benefits you. The reality is God is gracious and He has something better for you. He has the joy of generosity. He has the joy of giving with integrity. May the Lord come and test every one of our hearts, test our lives. What He desires of us is a life of integrity. And I thank God that so many of you are giving and living in that way, in a way that shows the integrity that is pleasing to the Lord. And then fourth and last, God Himself is determined to sustain generosity in his people. One of the things I've been thinking about, and part of what we're thinking about, is not just one moment of giving, but 3 years of giving. And there's something different about that. There's something challenging about that, because there's a way that we're not just giving now, but we are wanting to continue to give into the future. And it can raise this question of, will I be able to be generous then? And this is a truth that needs to be kept in mind as we consider that. David closes with a prayer that God would sustain this inner posture and devotion and vision in his people. In other words, not just a one-time event here or here today, but ongoing into the future. And the good news, the glorious news for us to consider today, is that God in his grace, according to verse 18, he is the one who keeps these purposes and thoughts in our hearts. And he does it by his Spirit within us, directing our hearts away from the love of money and to God himself. He does this by opening our eyes to see the riches of his generosity to us in Christ, the God who so loved the world that he gave his Son for us to die in our place, that we might be rich in his grace. He has lavished generosity upon us. We only give to the mission fund because of God's activity in our hearts. The only thing that can explain anyone giving is what God has done. And that means that he receives the glory for anything we give. In fact, God is in the business of sustaining generosity even when we don't see a way. There's just been these phrases that I've been thinking about. Another one is in 2 Corinthians 8:3, where it speaks of Christians who gave beyond their ability. They gave according to their ability and beyond. How is that possible? God delights to meet his people as they step out in faith and give in ways that are truly generous and sacrificial. And so let's make verse 18 our prayer today. O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep forever such purposes and thoughts in the hearts of your people and direct their hearts toward you. God, sustain generosity in our hearts. This is a work that only God can do. And we as pastors believe and are confident that God will provide the funds needed for this mission fund, that younger pastors will be brought onto this team to serve in the future for decades to come. We believe by the grace of God that a chapel will be built, and when it occurs, we will gather as a church and give thanks to God for what he has done, what he continues to do, and we will praise him for his great faithfulness. Let me close by telling you more of Randy Alcorn's story, because you may not know this. It was in 1990, Randy Alcorn was arrested for peacefully protesting at an abortion clinic. And the clinic in that case won a court judgment for $8 million that would take his salary and use it to support abortion clinics for the rest of his life. The only way he could avoid that was for Alcorn to make no more than minimum wage. He says, by all appearances, our lives had taken a devastating turn. Yet it was one of the best things that ever happened to us. What others intended for evil, God intended for good. He says, we began Eternal Perspectives Ministries, which stewards all the books I write. My wife Nancy worked at a secretary's salary, supplementing my minimum wage. Then something interesting happened. Suddenly my books were on bestseller lists. Royalties increased. Over the years, we have given away 100% of those royalties. By God's grace, as of 2023, the books have sold over 12 million copies, and the ministry has given away nearly $10 million of royalties. At the end of each year, the ministry has been able to give away other funds as well, so that total Eternal Perspectives Ministries giving has exceeded $13 million, all to the glory of God. And then he says, here's my point. I'm not boasting in my generosity, as I'm well aware I could have given more. I'm simply saying it is not just other people who are better off because of the giving, but I myself am far better off. I don't go to bed at night feeling that I've sacrificed that money, wishing somehow I could get my hands on it. I go to bed feeling happy because there's nothing more soul-satisfying than giving. He says, when people ask me, do you know what you could have done if you'd kept all those royalties? My response is always the same. Nothing that would have brought me more joy than what we have done with it. Friends, there is joy that awaits us in giving. Nothing brings more soul-satisfying pleasures. Nothing is more joy-inducing than generous giving. Not only will others be better off, but we ourselves will be better off. And tonight, we are going to bed happy, knowing that nothing we can do with these funds would have brought us more joy than giving it away as an act of worship to the God who has saved us. We join together with the people of old. And verse 20, bless the Lord our God. We worship his name. We bless his name. We will, verse 22, eat and drink before the Lord. Grape juice, of course. Eat and drink before the Lord on this day with great gladness. And as we give, we declare to the Lord, yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Yours is the kingdom, and you are exalted as head over all. Now we thank you. Now we praise your glorious name. Praise be to Christ now and forever as we worship him with our hearts, with our lips, with our lives, yes, with our giving. Christ be exalted. Amen.